Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This show is bringing you breaking news on Kevin Annett. He actually is joining me today. For those of you who did not see the previous video, he was apprehended at the Canadian border and he was held for 2 days by unknown people in plain clothes. He didn't know who they were. They wouldn't identify themselves, asking all sorts of questions. This has gone up to the highest levels at the UN. It has gone up to European countries that have been getting involved. He cannot speak on what exactly, you know, in detail. He's going to talk in general because now this is triggering lawsuits and triggering all sorts of activity going on behind the scene, which is good. And he will explain that. I got to tell you that when he was released, he is now in a safe house, an undisclosed location. The communication and the internet is not as good as I would like it to be, but this is the best that we're gonna get. It's good enough if you just be patient with it because the content is very important. And I just gotta tell you how brave he is and how much I appreciate his work and his organization. There are many men and women and priests and all sorts of people coming forward to work on this. This is not a single man. Kevin is not the only person working. There is so many people coming forward in groups working on it. He's the spokesperson for the organization, but there are many people behind it. And it goes to say, when I was going to do this interview and I was talking to Kevin, the organization, the office sent me an email on what I could not, what he's allowed to talk about, so knowing that they're the authority and Kevin needs to follow what they are telling him to do. So there are many more people behind this. And I do want to tell you that the ITNJ, we talk about this, and Robert David Steele and Sasha Stone being involved in this situation. I do have to say that when I talked to the office at ITNJ, they said they had no involvement with this, with Kevin Annett and trying to publicly smear him or take him down or anything. So I have to say that I don't know whether they're acting alone, if they're acting on behalf of the organization or what's going on, but we can say that there is proof that they said these statements publicly. And Kevin will go into what statements that they said publicly. And to me, it's very disheartening because it erodes the trust of victims. And anytime there are people, advocates out there on the behalf of victims going after another advocate or whistleblower, there's something that's just not right. And I think that we need to protect the trust. We need to have people who are on the forefront helping people, helping victims. You need to be able to trust these people. And that's one thing I love about Kevin is that he is out there with integrity. He is honest. And I got to tell you, it's not just me, but Dave Janet is the one that introduced me to Kevin back a while ago. He stands by him 100%. We both did our own investigation. He talked to intelligence agents. I talked to my own people, different detectives and people that are in intelligence. I got nothing that was bad about him from people who are in the know. Yeah, I got some internet researchers that said stuff that I thought was bogus because the links didn't work and it was all BS. But the people that I trust all said there's nothing against Kevin. So I got to go with that. I got to go with that there's nothing on him. So if you hear the smear campaigns, I truly don't believe this. There was a reporter, and I published it on my Patreon. If you go to my Patreon, you can see this. A reporter that followed him for 20 years, and she's a high-profile reporter, is not using her name because she's afraid to. But she came out and researched him, his background, followed him for 20 years, and came to the same conclusions that I have. There are a lot of people that are coming to the same conclusions that I have. So this smear campaign, I'm just telling you, I would take it for what it is. It's a smear campaign. They have no facts behind it. Let's get into my interview now with Kevin Annett.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Sarah.
You had quite the ordeal over the last, 3 days. You have so many people that have been worried about you and the comments and the messages and people. It's a huge movement, I think, that was following you. I'm very concerned. And we, the public, what we know is that you were apprehended at the Canadian border and we really don't know much more than three unmarked, or they didn't have any uniforms, plain clothes people, men, grabbed you or took you. It was actually the border, and then they transferred you to three people, and they wouldn't say who they are, and that's about all we know. Can you explain what happened? I mean, where did you get apprehended, and then what happened?
Well, I'm restrained right now on what I can say for some reason, because what happened is now being brought before not just International Criminal Court, but international courts in Europe. And there's a move at the UN to publicly censure Canada, England, and the Vatican for what they're doing. So this is going to be part of a much bigger response we're going to have. So I'm restraining what I can share right now. But I can tell you the general facts. As we thought might happen, there was an incident. It's called the Canadian Border Services Agency. And I was flagged. There was three people. I waited about an hour. They didn't say why they were detaining me. And then these three guys showed up. Like something out of a movie, right? Guys in suits with shades, right? And they didn't say who they were. And we took a drive. It was about 2 hours. I didn't see exactly where it was because the windows were all shaded out, right? I was kind of in the back of a vehicle and I couldn't look out the windows. They don't put a blindfold on you anymore. They just put you in the back of a car. And within a 2 hour radius of where we're at, somewhere between Ottawa and Montreal. And I heard a lot of traffic. It couldn't have been in the countryside. So I think it was somewhere near Canada's capital of Ottawa. And as the communique said, I was put in a cell. I was questioned by a guy, but I wouldn't answer any of his questions. I said, who are you? What do you represent? I'm not answering any questions. He asked me about my knowledge of the royal family, which I think was very indicative because, well, I'll get into that in a minute, but they also wanted to know, or this guy wanted to know, if I was standing by my claim about the British family's royal involvement in rich cult ritual activity. And I say, I'm not answering any of your questions. I don't even have a lawyer present. I'm being held illegally, so I'm not going to say anything. At that point, they left me alone for the rest of the night. During the night, apparently, there had been a lot of pressure brought to bear. I was released the next morning. And then I was picked up by some friends, taken to a safe house, and here I am.
Well, that's really interesting. So you still don't know what the agency was and what happened. You know, the public communication from your organization said that there was this Track B system that you were put in. What is that?
I think that's the important thing to talk about. I want to talk about why it happened, I believe, and what it is we're dealing with. It's a term within the Canadian government system called Track B, where it's every government has this. You know, they're called Homeland Security laws in America, but Track B in Canada. It's administrative law. As a matter of fact, I was told that I was being detained under administrative protection laws. And what that means is you're in a system outside the law. You're in a private court system. It's like the old, what they called the Star Chamber system in medieval England, where the king had his private courts. He'd arrest people he didn't like. They didn't know the charges. It was kind of like being before charges. I couldn't appeal anything. I just had to do what they wanted. And if I didn't, I would just be stuck away. And that's really what it is. They can target anyone they like, put them in this special system, and you know, you're gone. Like, now, I know there are other people in the facility I was being held in, right? And I don't know who they are, but it's system secret government and administrative tribunals. They're not even really courts. They operate according to their own regulations. And And so in a way, it's nothing new. I think it's definitely related to, you know, two things have really triggered a lot of this. Back in March, when we unveiled that connection between the Mormon Church and the Vatican, within 48 hours, these attacks are coming from these two fellows in England, Mr. Steele and Mr. Stone with the ITNJ. Suddenly, they're just attacking me and saying I should be put away. And he used a telling phrase, Robert Stone said,
remove you mean Robert from the David public Steele.
Yes. He said, we will have you removed from the public sphere. Now, that's a term that's unique to people in covert ops, because that means we're going to get you into this administrative track, this track B or whatever you want to call it. And sure enough, that happens. So I think he also said, we're going to turn your life inside out. I mean, that was a direct threat he made back in March. And just recently, we uncovered the fact that the Anglican Church is holding this 42nd General Synod in Vancouver on July 10th to 16th. We know for a fact from sources there that this is going to be a major conclave in the Ninth Circle. Our theory is that the Ninth Circle is shifting their activities into Canada in a big way. They're using other churches as cover because of all the heat we've been bringing on them. They're using the Mormon Church, this Mormon temple that just opened in Rome. The Anglicans, the West Coast and Vancouver especially, is a hotbed of all of this stuff. And so I think the fact that we're shining a light on this stuff in a new way is responsible for not just what happened to me, but, you know, on every level, our funding, our communications, people that we work with, they're all under attack. And it's very much related to these things we brought out, you know.
Now, you one of the things that really disturbs me is that there is this track B. And is this track B completely above the law? I mean, is there, I know you kind of explained it, but is it completely its own set of laws? Is this the shadow government at work?
Very much. You know, it's like, I've had a lot of dealings with churches, of course, and it's like being in church law or what the Vatican calls canon law. They're unaccountable to anybody or anybody but themselves. And so that means when you're in these administrative tribunals, you don't have the right to appeal. You can't see the evidence against you. You can't call witnesses. You can't even call a lawyer. There's a tribunal of guys, and they judge you and decide. And you have to, it's like an inquisition. All you do is admit your guilt. And if you challenge and say, I'm not guilty, you're considered automatically guilty. So it's a no-win situation. And we have to realize that it's the police state in operation. And it's good to get a taste of this, because then you realize what's really going on in many ways. I had a friend who was held in LA airport. This was over 10 years ago. He was in an immigration prison there. And he found people who had been in there for weeks, because any immigration prison in an airport, it's outside the law of the land. You can hold people there indefinitely. So these things operate all the time right under our noses. And I think they're worried enough that they've, you know, when they do something like this to somebody with as much profile that I have, it's an act of desperation, because it always backfires on them. Right now, people at the UN are very upset, and there's been a movement for about the last couple of months to try to get the Vatican expelled from the General Assembly, because the church shouldn't even be in there in the first place. And this is added fuel. There, I was in a call today to a woman who was really outraged at what's happened, and she's going to be in there arguing now in a lot of nations that the Vatican has no place in the UN. It doesn't have the right to have diplomatic status. It's not a government. It's not a nation under international law. And so this is not going to help us, really.
Yeah, well, because they played their cards. You don't just attack someone. They didn't tell you why they were taking you. They just took you to question you and held you. And it makes no sense. Yeah. You know, I do have to tell you that when I asked the INT, the ITNJ, if they did that, the official response.
Well, usually they do it to the rest.
Pardon me? Go ahead.
No, you finish. It's okay.
The actual office said they did not do that, but I did see the public statements from Robert David Steele and from Sasha Stone. So I don't know if they're acting on their own, or if they are, you know, saying it's the association that, or the organization that's backing them. But the organization is not claiming responsibility for this when I asked them, but not for your take, you know, what happened to you just the last couple of days, but when they were going public with those statements, they were saying they are not going after you. So they might have been acting on their own, not part of the organization, but I can't say one way or the other.
Well, they both claim to speak as representatives of the ITNJ. It's interesting, Sasha Stone in his email to me on the 16th of March, I may refer you to relevant authorities for a mental health examination as well as investigation for fraud and sedition, which is an odd thing to claim because an act of sedition is an attempt to overthrow the Crown of England. So he's speaking what, on behalf of the Crown? Robert David Steele on March 17th wrote to me and said, you're henceforth being an obvious lunatic with no legal, including referral of you as an individual to the authorities for psychiatric evaluation and possible removal from the public sphere. And then on the 21st, he wrote in a letter to Dr. Catherine Horton, Annett has a choice, shut up or have his life turned inside out. The choice is his. Right now, today, any further evidence of his broadcast communications will assure that he will face legal action in Canada with notice to UK, Belgium, Italy, Vatican, US, Australia, and New Zealand. I mean, those are overt threats coming over the public internet. And then this stuff happens. I can't believe that it's unrelated, right? I mean,
it probably is. And the disturbing part for me, because I interviewed a lot of those people, I know them well. The disturbing part for me is that the victims, they interviewed a lot of victims. There's a lot of great people who are associated with that organization who do not agree with them. And there's a lot of victims who deserve better than this because now they lost their trust. They lose the trust of the victims. So to me, who's losing here is the victims. And I don't know if it's shining that they're not who they say they are, or if they went too far, like whoever their handlers are put pressure on them, I don't know. But all I gotta say is that the victims are the ones that are hurting here because they're gonna lose trust in that organization and what's going on when you go after others who are whistleblowers.
Right, and you know, this kind of infighting is toxic, and we, you know, For that reason, I didn't attack on a personal level. I just asked basic questions. Where does ITNJ get their money from? What is their mandate besides gathering information? That's never been clear. Our policy of the protocol is we never ask people to give a statement without reassuring them that this will only be used with your permission. You keep copyright over your own statement and will be not shared with any authorities that you don't approve of. They haven't said that at all. They haven't guaranteed that. And so just at a basic level of safety, we say you shouldn't share your testimony with people who aren't going to guarantee that it's going to remain in your own hands and not be given to unknown parties. So, you know, in terms of how you maintain a you know, secure environment. But as to this other stuff, this is very serious. I don't respond on a personal level, but I do say that when people are making those threats and then something like this happens, the onus is on them and the government, you know, to show that there isn't a criminal conspiracy going on. We know there has been for over 20 years involved against me in our work. This is just more proof of that, of a long history of these kinds of attacks. So, I think the fact that it's coming right now is indicative of that the powers that be are in a real panic mode. And we see that stuff in coming out of Rome, you know, the sidelining of Bergoglio in 2 months ago. I mean, all of that stuff, I think this is just symptoms of all that.
Yeah, there's weird behavior coming out of a lot of countries right now. And that's one of the things I had a couple of my listeners from Canada tell me, that they're seeing all sorts of weird behavior coming out of their governments. And I think we're seeing that all over the world, just the grasping at straws, feeling that they're cornered, and doing ridiculous moves that make them look really dumb. I mean, frankly, they look really dumb.
Well, yeah, definitely. And like I say, it helps what we're doing, because we're getting a lot of people to converge on this Anglican Synod in July, because we know that on the 16th, this is the last day of their Synod. It's a full moon. They're going to be observers from the Catholic and United Churches there. We know that several guys, including the retiring primate Fred Hiltz, is already a convicted. There's a standing arrest warrant against him because he helped conceal the evidence of that the killing of children at the Anglican Mohawk School in Brantford, Ontario. He's probably also complicit in the death of one of the researchers there, Leona Moses, who surfaced information she shared with us showing that the Anglican Church had planned how to exterminate the Mohawk Nation at that school. And she dies suddenly, her house is burned down, all of the evidence is burned up. And we know that he gave a direct order to silence everyone in that diocese who was involved in that research into the Mohawk school. So these are hard questions these people have to answer. And if anything, this will bring more of a spotlight on that thing in July in Vancouver. So I'm actually, in the long run, kind of happy this all happened.
Yeah, because nobody, I mean, let's face it, other than being really inconvenienced, nothing truly bad happened. So now this is a good thing.
It is. You know, it reminds me of when I was held in the Stansted immigration prison in London, when I was expelled from there in 2011. And I was locked in the cell, and I know the camera was on me. So what I did is I began to talk into the camera, and I said, "Do you know who I am? Look at these websites. This is proof of the genocide. This is the system you're serving, whoever is watching this." And they got me out of there in less than a day, because it's like my friend Steve Finney in Kitchener, Ontario. The cops had him locked up in jail. He began to educate all the prisoners about their rights under common law. So they got him out of there quick, right? I mean, you got to use every moment to reach the hearts and minds of these people. They're just, you know, guys doing a job, and
they don't like it either once they know.
You're serving. I mean, this is, so I use that. I began singing hymns, actually, when I was overnight in the cell. I was singing hymns and talking away to the camera, right, and saying, "You should read murderbydecree.com and see all my books," right? Just go down. Right?
That's excellent. Yeah. You know, what there's reports of, and actually PBS even covered it, of Facebook, you know, the people that go in and do all the censoring, that they, a lot of them have quit, because they actually have started believing they call them the conspiracy theories. They started believing the stuff that they're learning. And so there's all this turmoil. And so a lot of them are quitting, and there's all these problems because the censors are learning what the truth is. And so that's what's changing this world. That's why freedom of speech is so important. That's why what you do is so important. That's why censoring, you know, when we got almost 600,000 views on that video and then they just shut it off. It had over 22,000 shares. It's virtually impossible to overnight not get any more views. So they shut it off because it was reaching too many people.
Yeah, that's true, Sarah. And that's why we have to just keep at it, because you keep the moral high ground, you base everything on evidence, and you keep pushing, and you got a tremendous power that's much greater than your numbers. So I don't know, that's just another proof of that over the last few days for me.
Well, good for you. I'm so happy and proud of you for what you're doing. And, you know, humanity needs you to keep fighting. We need to keep helping. I've had many, many people email or make messages saying, "How can I help Kevin? What can we do?" Can you tell them what they can do?
Yes. Well, education, go to murderbydecree.com. Invite me into your community, because, you know, the best way to dispel smears and misinformation is to meet somebody face to face and learn the story. Write to me, thecommonland@gmail.com. My latest book, number 16, The Border. You can get that at Amazon. And it's got a lot of insights about everything we're talking about, but from a very personal experience. So I would say order the book, write to me. And on murderbydecree.com, of course, there's a PayPal button. So you can, not a PayPal button, there's a thing that says donations. There's two ways to donate. And I'm telling you, this is the only way you folks watching this is what sustains our movement, right? Because it's a community-fed movement. And so we need that kind of support as well. And I'm on the air at 6 o'clock Eastern time, bbsradio.com/herewestand. Sunday, just tune in. I would say mostly get the information and act in your community, right? Go to these churches. We've got stickers, leaflets, banners. We find that the more churches we go to, the greater response we're getting. I've even had Catholic priests come out to me and saying, I'm with you, you know? Like there's that movement in Ireland. They just had their founding meeting on May 3rd. It's called Not in Our Name. It's Catholic priests who want to split away from
Love
Rome.
Love that. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Hope to have those guys on their show soon, but they're in serious danger, you know, by coming out at all publicly. Yeah. But you're seeing the ice break fall apart. I mean, everything is coming out now, and it's a great time to be alive, but we can't sit back and let somebody do it for us now. We all have to take action in our community. So write to me, thecommonland@gmail.com, and we will get active where you are, because that's where our strength lies, right?
That would be excellent, because then they can maybe help join forces, help organize, maybe in their local communities, maybe in their state, and hopefully join forces with you. But thank you so much for joining the program, and I'm so glad you're safe. And
if there's anybody on the West Coast, please join us July 10th in Vancouver. There's going to be this is a place where they're going to sacrifice children on July 16th at midnight. We know that for a fact. Probably occur in the tunnel system under Vancouver, near the Vancouver Club. People have been telling us about that. And so we need people there to stop this, to save lives. And so please get on board with us and help that, right? Help that process.
Thank you. So, I mean, the more lives, every life we save is precious. These little children deserve so much better. So God bless you. And thank you for everything that you do.
Okay, sir. It's my job.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.